This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Ryan Spader joining us here on ESPN 97.5. All right, Dell, I think we got him. Let's get Ryan in here. Analysis. He's written a book.
Yeah, Ryan,
he's done it all in baseball.
Why don't you tell us what your... How would you describe yourself from a baseball standpoint? What is your entire background?
Well, first of all, I got to apologize. I was having a hard time getting in touch with you guys.
No problem.
So that's all on me. But in terms of my baseball background, what I often tell a lot of these ball players that I talk to, I'm a ball player. I just suck. So I had to find another way in the game. And for me, it was numbers. I'm good with numbers. I'm a little bit better with numbers than I am with the curveball. So that was my route into baseball.
MLB analyst, author, host, statistician, writer, and also a hedge fund guy with us here, Ryan Spader. what was you just went off and you said I am sick of this bull bleep. What was the final straw that made you tweet all that yesterday?
To be honest with you, I look at the direction in which baseball is going, and I think it's the same thing over and over again. We saw it with before I was born, with cocaine in the mid-80s, then the steroid era, then the juice ball era. One thing that remains untalked about is therapeutic use exemptions. Certain players have them for things like HGH and other things, and then I started seeing the exact same thing happen with this sticky stuff, and I can't stand by and watch it happen again, where Major League Baseball points their fingers at, you know, the likes of, I know he's not the most popular guy in Houston, but the likes of Trevor Bauer, the likes of Gerrit Cole, and says, hey, it's your guy's fault, or puts the onus on an individual team like they did with the Astros and the sign stealing stuff. And I just couldn't stand by and watch it happen again. And I said, you know what, I've had enough. And I decided to come forward with the information that I have, information that I got from several different players.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that, a really poor, Ryan, it's you have so much video footage now where people can capture it on, on television, where pitchers now, for whatever reason, they just don't even hide the fact that they're going to the glove, they're going to the belt. And sometimes when they do try to hide it, people have the video and they can decipher it, and which has put, I think, much more attention on it, and why Major League Baseball maybe felt like they had to act, because it's being exposed, despite the fact that they certainly probably don't want it exposed. But it is interesting that a really, really bad answer by Gerrit Cole kind of pushed him into the forefront as the guy with the spider tack. But the reality is, he had happened to him, and what disgusted you is he had happened to him the same thing that happened to the Astros, where once you find your scapegoat, once you find your person, that's what social media especially will stick with. That one person or that one team, and then they seem to turn a blind eye to everything else.
No, you're exactly right. And Gerrit Cole, he failed miserably in that situation. Now, I don't put that on Gerrit Cole. Like, he's doing something that every other pitcher in the big leagues is doing. Did he fail in the situation? Yes. He probably should have had a better answer prepared. He did not. It wasn't necessarily his responsibility to do so, though. I look at this as a Major League Baseball problem, not as an individual player problem. We're not talking about a single player or a single team. We're talking about something that's happening league-wide. Since yesterday, I've had several different pitchers reach out to me and been like, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. This is how I'm trying to make level ground, right? And I've heard from several different players, several different pitchers who are probably doing the same thing that Gerrit Cole's doing. In the situation that he was put in, forced into, I think it's a difficult one. I think he failed in the situation. However, again, I just don't think he should have been in that situation to begin with.
Ryan Spader with us here on ESPN 97.5. He outed a bunch of teams yesterday on Twitter. Accusations flying about video cheating while the Astros have been the scapegoat. And one thing, Ryan, Carlos Beltran, it was made public that Carlos Beltran was the guy who walked into the Astros locker room and said, you guys are way behind. And he was the mastermind behind this, along with Alex Cora. They both got suspended. But why is it that no one in the media, I believe that no one in the media wants to have New York pissed off at him, so that they just ignored that whole thing. If Carlos Beltran came from New York and said, you guys are behind, it was happening in New York. And yet everybody in the media just dismissed that.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I'm not totally sure if it has anything to do with them not wanting New York to be quote unquote pissed off at them, right? For me, I'm in a very unique situation. Baseball doesn't pay for my meals. It doesn't pay for my rent. I work for, you know, I got out of the Marine Corps and I still work for the Marine Corps. That's what pays for my rent. I am in a situation where I don't really care if, and you know, he's a great dude, Jeff Passan, great, great guy, very good dude, but I don't care if he's pissed off at me. I don't care if Rob Manfred's pissed off at me. It doesn't really matter that much to, you know, to my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. And I think because of that, I was maybe a little bit more willing to come forward with some of the information that, you know, that I shared.
I'm curious if you think that you'll be contacted by anybody, by any teams, or more importantly, by anyone surrounding Major League Baseball. It has been strange that so much has been out there, and yet Major League Baseball, so many former players have made comments. Eric Kratz, who you also referenced yesterday during your Twitter thread about cheating and some of the things that he talked about.
He commented on it. I don't know if you saw that.
What's that?
He commented on it, too.
What did he say?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. What did he say?
So one of the first things that I said was that the Royals were the first team to have the video room near the dugout. And Kratz actually said, false, everybody had that. And he sent me a text about it. He said, everybody had it by then.
Oh, yeah.
I see that one. I see that tweet.
Yeah, so yeah. It's been going on. So, okay, my question is, why hasn't Major League Baseball, after he made his comments and then took a not very thinly veiled shot at the Dodgers for being a team that was cheating, I guess the question is, Mike Fiers makes a comment, and rightfully so, Major League Baseball's got to look into that. This show is not saying anything other than that. We recognize that. But the consistency, why wouldn't Major League Baseball, or do you know if they have reached out to Kratz and started to grill him on what he knows and how he knows it so that they can truly get to the bottom of all quote-unquote cheating in baseball?
So the thing about Kratz is, how can you be so specific? And this is the one thing that I kind of was
questioning when people were reaching out to me saying that, you know, I'm full of crap and all this other stuff. How can you be so specific and be making something up? I mean, this man was talking about, like, I believe a vibrator on a bench.
The Theragun.
That is insanely specific to be making something up. And from my perspective, Eric Kratz, he's a very, very well-respected ball player. You know, he grinded. He didn't make the league until he was like 30 years old or something like that. He's very, very well-respected throughout the league. And it just seems very, very strange to me that all of a sudden he would want to make something up to disparage the game for whatever reason, a game that he played for nearly 20 years.
Ryan Spader with us here out at baseball yesterday on Twitter. And then it evolved into talk about the Yankees letter. And we've been asking for, and yet no one in the media is asking this, Ryan. What is going on with the letter? Why do the Yankees so badly don't want this out there? Their thought is that it's going to hurt the Yankees' reputation. Well, no, duh. If you cheat, they look at the Astros. That's what happened to them. Look at their reputation. But yet the league is protecting the Yankees and continues to protect the Yankees.
That's what it looks like.
Yes, and honestly, I'm inclined to agree. So I think there's three teams that are considered by Major League Baseball to be quote-unquote international teams, and that's the Los Angeles Dodgers, the Boston Red Sox, and the New York Yankees. And I think that Major League Baseball is so desperate to spread internationally that they will do anything to protect those three teams. And I think that that is sort of what we're seeing. You had mentioned earlier, and I didn't mean to ignore it, forgive me, do I expect to be contacted by anybody? I've already been contacted by reps from the Players Union. I don't know if Major League Baseball is going to reach out to me, if they're just going to ignore this. I mean, I can tell you right now, that whole, I know that they see what I'm doing, because that whole playoff situation that we had last year, you know, with the crazy playoffs, is actually something that I wrote up probably about a year before they implemented it. So I know they're seeing what I'm doing. And I'd be willing to bet that they're probably not thrilled with the way that I went about this one here.
No, they're not. You know, I think it's interesting. I had something that I wrote in the Houston Chronicle years ago about Albert. I had some inside information on Albert Haynesworth and his contract before he went to Washington, and I put it out there. And, you know, it's just me putting it in my blog I had on the Houston Chronicle. Well, it got picked up nationally, and this is before social media, obviously, so word travels a little slower. But once Pro Football Talk got a hold of it, oh, my gosh, I was inundated with phone calls and then messages through emails. And I'm curious, your day, I noticed your follower count shooting up yesterday and your name being mentioned in several places. I'm curious if there was ever a point after you put all this information out there where you had any regret or concern or fear or if you were anxious once you saw, holy crap, this thing got a way bigger. I'm assuming it got way bigger than you anticipated.
Yeah, it definitely did. And I will tell you there,
because it's nerve-wracking. I can tell you for a fact it's nerve-wracking.
I can tell you, I was talking with a couple of my friends last night, and you know, my one buddy, White Sox Dave, right, with Barstool, and you know, a couple other folks who I was talking to, and I was like, I probably shouldn't have done this.
I know it goes through your mind when you have all that heat come down on you. Mm-hmm. There's no question.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. But in the end, I think it's important to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Major League Baseball does that. I don't think they ever do that. And like I said earlier, I love baseball, but it just doesn't affect my day-to-day life all that much. And so I just decided to take the leap. Yeah, it got a lot bigger than I anticipated. really probably wish it didn't get quite as big as it did. But, you know, that's the price you pay.
Well, hopefully. Hopefully it gets bigger. Ryan Spader, he ain't scared. He's a Marine. He ain't scared of Twitter and all the haters out there. And thank you for your service, by the way, Ryan.
I appreciate it.
Well, let me ask you this question. You and Kevin Reavy wrote incredible baseball stats, the coolest, strangest stats and facts in baseball history. What's your favorite weird stat?
Oh, man. So there's a couple of them that I really like. I'll tell you one of Wade Boggs, who forwarded the original book. Lance McCullers Jr. actually did the second one. But Boggs reached base safely in 152 games in 1985. That's an all-time record. And then in two of the games that he did not reach safely, he reached on error. One of the games, he had an RBI. So the man was basically productive in 155 of 161, I believe, he had played that year. And one of the games that he did nothing, he was pulled after the first inning because he had a little hamstring issue that he quickly recovered from. One other that I'll tell you that I absolutely love, I would be remiss if I didn't mention Barry Bonds. 80 home runs over the span of 160 games, slugging .921 over that stretch.
Incredible.
That's
not really incredible when the size of his head doubled. What about that stat?
I thought you were going to come with Barry Bonds' hat size stat.
Yeah, yeah.
He went to a 9? Wow.
He went from a 7 to a 12? What?
What about Jose Altuve, what he did yesterday? First time in Major League Baseball history, you go from a walk-off grand slam to end the game to a lead-off home run, or your first at-bat, you have a home run to
let
begin
off the game. End of the game and let off
the game. End of the game and let off the game. That's the first time in Major League Baseball history that's happened, where it was grand slam and then a home run to start a game.
You know, you're actually teaching me that one.
I didn't know it either.
I'm actually kind of blown away. That is remarkable. I may have to put that in the third version of the book.
Put it in there, because I'm thinking, okay,
I'll have to credit you guys.
Baseball's like 700 years old, and somehow this has never happened before?
That is remarkable. Unbelievable stat right there. I love it.
That is great stuff. So, Ryan, we hope, I know you wanted to calm down a little bit. We hope it just all of a sudden lights a fire.
Yeah, what do you think is going to happen? You know you're going to get picked apart, and your credibility is going to get picked apart by people, and you don't care, and that's good.
I've already dealt with this so many times. People all the time want to pick apart my credibility because I don't, you know, you mentioned it, or I don't work for Major League Baseball. I don't work for the New York media, but guess what? MLB Network has me on. There's a reason for that.
Yeah, good for you.
It's not because I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, and we certainly hope you. We certainly hope you.
Man, it would be nice if baseball, if Rob Manfred actually manned up and actually looked into this, and because the Astros have been such a scapegoat. And we know how rampant it has been, and yet the national media and baseball has just overlooked this thing. Maybe you lit a fire, Ryan. We hope you did, because here we're pretty sick of all the Astro hate here. And you know what? I've gotten to a point I don't care anymore. It pissed me off so bad, but now, you know, I just don't care
anymore. I don't mind you hating. Just be consistent.
Yeah.
Just the consistency, the lack of consistency from Major League Baseball, and frankly, Ryan, from the national media, who does know better. I mean, we all have people around baseball who we know who have told us this for years and years. And I've even heard someone who was once tight with the commissioner's office, who's now gotten back into the game on a team side. They said the commissioner's office, or that they have some secondhand information about the Dodgers, which has always been strange to me that the Dodgers would chirp the loudest. Like, if you know your team has something, like if you're the Yankees and Dodgers, why in the world would players come out and make comments if they know that they have something in their background?
Because they think they're untouchable.
Is that simple?
There's no other reason.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully they're touchable now because of you. We appreciate it. Ryan Spader, Follow him on Twitter at Ace of Spader, AEDER. And great stuff. We appreciate it. Thanks for outing everybody, and hopefully something comes of it. We appreciate you being here.
You guys have a great day.
Thanks. All right. There's Ryan Spader right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Thanks for outing everybody.